Hello everyone. So recently I've been reading the works of a left-wing writer called Caleb Maupin, and the book I want to talk about today is called What is a Countergang? What fascinated me about this is that he, Maupin, from the left, came to a lot of the same conclusions about the likes of BLM and Antifa that I had come up with 5 years ago. Obviously, I was using the lens of elite theory. He was getting there through Marxism. But essentially, what is a countergang? Well, I argued back in the day that BLM and Antifa were counter-revolutionary forces that were state-backed, working for some power or other, probably the Democrat Party. He comes to exactly the same conclusions and he gives evidence for it. But I'm much more interested in the actual notion of countergang, what it does for the system, how it works. And in this video, I want to delve into this more and read a little bit from Marx on this very question. First of all, though, I have a sale going on, the autumn sale. The leaves are falling. That means you get 25% off all courses at the academic agency, Foundations of Shakespeare, Trivium, many other great courses. Buy it now for promo code Shredder. When I come back, we're going to talk more about countergangs. It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now. All right. Yes, the promo code Shredder. So, yeah, where I'm really interested in this book is just how many of these countergangs we have seen in history and what actually constitutes them, how they are different from a genuine revolutionary vanguard, how they are different from, so a countergang, just to explain the basic premise, is when some power faction, when some elite group within society hires street thugs or promotes or gives backing to or gets the authorities to turn a blind eye to the activities of a set of street thugs who are drawn typically from what Marx calls the lumpen proletariat. And the reason they are called counter gangs as opposed to, just simply gangs or, revolutionary forces or protest groups is because they are actually working in the service of some power or other, usually for the actual system itself or for maintenance of the status quo or the interests of the ruling class. And Marx himself actually came up with this idea when he, the actual term, and this is actually some really interesting stuff. We were talking about it in on the recent Adam Curtis review yesterday when we were talking about Can't Get You Out of My Head and Kenya and the Mau Mau were coming up. And so the actual phrase countergang comes from this guy whose name was Kitson, who was working for the British intelligence services. These days we call it MI6, or the equivalent of back then, in Kenya. And he, against the Mau Mau, organised all sorts of counter gangs to cause trouble, to plant false flags, to frame them for things they didn't do, to sow mistrust, to generally divide and conquer the population of Kenya in order to prevent this genuine rebellion. Here's a picture of him. He's Frank Kitson, and he wrote a book in 1960, I think it was, or maybe around that time, called Gangs and Counter Gangs, which is where Maupin has got this phrase. But the same basic idea can be found in the work of Sorel, who is also covered in James Burnham's The Machiavellians. There's a whole chapter on Sorel, reflections on violence. And obviously, if you think about it, the fascists, that is Mussolini, used the black shirts. They were a counter gang against the communists of that time. In Germany, of course, there were the brown shirts, who were, according to Maupin, were another counter gang. Here is Marx talking about the original counter gang, according to him. Although you could argue there were previous ones like Caesar's legion that was loyal to him, you could argue was a counter gang. I really thought this passage from Marx on Bonaparte's counter gang was pretty interesting, and I want to read it in full. So the section I want to read here from right at the start of the book is called The Society of December the 10th. And this kind of gives some insight into how Bonaparte, Napoleon, that is, was able to take control of the French Revolution and to stop it being genuinely revolutionary, as the original kind of Rousseauians would have seen, to turn it into a vehicle for his own power. And as per Bertrand de Jouvenel's book on power, a more efficient mechanism for centralization than the old Bourbon regime, which, according to Jouvenel, is the true meaning of the French Revolution. So, but anyway, here and but for Marx and for the Marxists, their view is that the French Revolution was kind of it wasn't truly revolutionary, because it simply replaced the aristocracy with the bourgeoisie, and it was a means of the bourgeoisie taking power and setting up a capitalist order, as opposed to something more communistic, something more genuinely revolutionary. So anyway, where should I start reading this? Okay, Marx described the Society of December the 10th that Bonaparte deployed in these terms, and this is Marx. On the pretext of founding a benevolent society, the lumpen proletariat of Paris had been organized into secret sections, each section led by Bonapartist agents, with a Bonapartist general at the head of the whole. Alongside decayed roofs and dubious means of subsistence, and of dubious origin, alongside ruined and adventurous offshoots of the bourgeoisie, were vagabonds, discharged soldiers, discharged jailbirds, escaped galley slaves, swindlers, mountebanks, lazzaroni, pickpockets, tricksters, gamblers, markaroo, brothel keepers, porters, literati, organ grinders, rag pickers, knife grinders, tinkers, beggars, in short, the whole indefinite, disintegrated mass thrown hither and thither, which the French call le bohème. From this kindred element, Bonaparte formed the core of the Society of December 10th. In other words, according to Marx, this lumpen proletariat, this gang, this counter gang of Bonaparte, was just a pile of scumbags, right? The scum, the underclass scum. Much like the ranks of BLM and Antifa that we saw 5 years ago, and much like other counter gangs that we can think of in recent history. What was the purpose of BLM and Antifa? Well, according to Maupin, it was to prevent the left being a genuinely revolutionary force, to get the black nationalists off the Malcolm X track and onto this onto this kind of nonsense diversity, whatever it was that BLM actually woke or whatever, basically serving the interests of the entrenched ruling class, foot soldiers for the regime, as I outlined 5 years ago. The videos are there. My video was called The True Meaning of BLM as a Counter-Revolutionary Force. I stand by that analysis. I think it's stood up very well. But I was just fascinated to come across this material. Let me carry on reading from Marx. Marx speaks with contempt of this mob, not as a group of wealth creators, but as a group of leeches on French society. A benevolent society, insofar as, like Bonaparte, all its members felt the need of benefiting themselves at the expense of the labouring nation. This Bonaparte, who constitutes himself chief of the lumpen proletariat, and it's important to understand this term, lumpen proletariat, because Marx distinguished between people who did productive work, productive labourers, and unproductive scum, basically. You know, ponces, chancers, thieves. These people are not actually truly part of the workers' solidarity. They're kind of on the fringes. But it's interesting that they have this category in their analysis, and I think it's important for us to think about as well. Anyway, he says, who here alone rediscovers in mass form the interests which he personally pursues, who recognises in this scum, in this offal, refuse of all classes, this is Marx, the only class upon which he can base himself unconditionally is the real Bonaparte, the Bonaparte sans phrase. What the national atliers were for the social workers, what the garde mobile were for the bourgeois republicans, the September of the Society of December 10th was for Bonaparte, the party fighting force peculiar to him. The Society of December 10th was to remain the private army of Bonaparte until he succeeded in transforming the public army into a Society of December 10th. Unlike the labour unions and socialist groups with deep roots in the communities, the Society of December 10th was a collection of thugs, criminals, and elements from the margins of society. Rather than empowering millions of French people to awaken and enter politics to improve their conditions, Louis Bonaparte had simply created a gang of marginal elements to function as a hit squad and pave the way for his regime to seize power. The contempt with which, and this is Maupin talking now, Marx described Louis Bonaparte's September, a society of December the 10th, is hardly concealed in his words. Marx wanted a broad mass movement of ordinary workers to become politically aware and work in their economic interest. Louis Bonaparte, like many demagogues who emerged during capitalist crises as the rich fight amongst themselves, wanted an isolated group of violent fanatics and unstable semi-criminals with which to create chaos and pave the way for his own seizure of power. Since 1852, when Marx laid out this understanding, the Marxist movement's perspective on this issue has evolved and adjusted. The tendency of Bonapartist figures to build up political groups of fanatics to do their bidding, as Louis Bonaparte did with the Society of December 10th, is pretty consistent. Woodrow Wilson revived and built up the Ku Klux Klan to serve this purpose. The Italian fascist blackshirts, the Nazi stormtroopers, all more or less served this function. However, when one digs deeper, one can see that there is a huge amount of overlap between revolutionary organisations and Bonapartist gangs, and the role such organisations play at any time can change. What constitutes a genuinely revolutionary working class movement? What constitutes a lumpen mob serving one section of the bourgeoisie? As one looks over the history of the Marxist movement and political turmoil throughout the world, from Marx's day right up into the 21st century, it becomes clear that this differentiation has become completely muddled, and successful revolutionary movements and organisations often play multiple roles over the course of their development. The more important question, obviously, is what kind of revolutionary movement is needed in our time? Finding the answer requires us to dig through lots of complex and often obscured history. And I'll stop it there. And I just found this fascinating, especially in the light of the fact that we just had the big Tommy rally. And I think, according to this analysis, Tommy's gang would be a counter gang. The EDL or the EDL lads would, you know, at some point have constituted a counter gang. And you could argue they do serve the interests of some powerful people. We know, we've been told recently, who funds Tommy Robinson. It's this chap called Shilman, who's a billionaire, hardcore Zionist, and anti-Islamic activist. Well, he is using the EDL as a counter gang. But what's so fascinating about Tommy and his lads as a counter gang is that when they come into contact with Antifa, when they come into contact with Stand Against Racism, we know for a fact that these are also state-backed counter-gangs. So, in some of these situations, we get counter-gang on counter-gang violence. Right? We literally get two counter-gangs, fight both of them, fight, you know, backed by power, backed by bourgeois interests, if you'd say it in the Marxist phrase, fighting each other. When he goes into BLM and Antifa, he has a whole bit on the Proud Boys and says, well, you know, pretty much, I mean, we know now that the Proud Boys were heavily infiltrated, but half of their membership were feds. We know that Antifa and BLM were state-backed. So you get this absurdity of counter-gang on counter-gang violence. You know, so it's kind of a bizarre scenario. And then obviously this all makes the news and, you know, it's real people get caught up in this and they end up going to jail and so on. But really interesting frame to think about. And it also makes, let's say, genuine street activism, of which I've always on this channel tended to tell people not to get involved with, for all of the reasons I've laid out before. But the whole counter-gang idea makes any genuinely radical revolutionary street gang extremely difficult, because the streets are already dominated by various different counter-gangs, and the security state in America and in this country spends a lot of time and effort making sure that one or the other of their counter-gangs control the streets. So this to me is absolutely fascinating. I think I just wanted to kind of let you know what I've been reading. It's been a while since I've done a kind of proper book video. There's been a lot of stuff going on recently. I've got lots of other books of his. I've only read this one so far. It's a quick read. Apparently he's a mate of Praise of Follies, so maybe it wouldn't be that, you know, maybe he'd be all right with coming on to talk to centre-left me, you know, maybe. I've had Grover Fair on, maybe. There's a lot of interesting work along these sorts of lines that is out there, and I'm interested in it at the moment. So that's forthcoming. I'm going to work through some of his other books, because they're about Soviet history, Stalin, and some of that stuff I've been interested in. Apparently Khrushchev broke up counter gangs, knew of them, organized them, and things like that. So I'm going to have to kind of get through some of that material. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, promo code Shredder, and I'll catch you soon. And if you're watching this video today, which is on the 2nd of October, very soon I should be on The Backlash on Blonde's channel. So I'll leave a link in the show notes, and catch me there. A little bit of an outside appearance for me. All right, see you soon. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.